You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. The beautiful voice there of a Corin Carpenter, the Carpenters with Solitaire. And that brings the time to 12 minutes past four. And I thought that was a great song to play in this afternoon's segment of my bi-weekly highlight. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Richard.
You know, I'm already starting to count the sleeps, eh?
No, I know you are. Yeah, I know. It's only 2 weeks to go, and then we're here again.
Yeah, so I've just got to get through the next 40 minutes, and I'll be okay.
It's okay. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just don't do it on your own.
On my own?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where you're going to be this afternoon. I'll switch the mic off now, and you're on your own.
I'm on my own.
You're on your own.
Why? Corin Carpenter and me.
You and Corin Carpenter, and that's it. Echoes of Silence. I should have played Sounds of Silence.
You should have, but that would have been disturbing.
Very clever. Very clever. I must write that one down. Thank you. So you can remember it.
I got him laughing.
Because by tomorrow you will have forgotten.
In the next 30 minutes you have forgotten.
Okay, Echoes of Silence, Understanding and Overcoming Loneliness. And that's something that I'm pretty sure a lot of people have to deal with. And it's not always easy to deal with.
Yeah, I think more people than we think. I think there's a pandemic, they call it, epidemic of loneliness out there. And it came from COVID, a lot of it, where people were stuck at home and they were on their own. And, you know, if you're a single person, COVID, you couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. If you had a family and you had a reasonably big property and you had a pool and, you know, you could kind of
still live a life.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're a single person
living in a flat in Sea Point.
And then putting gloves on and going to Woolies and coming back. You know, it's pretty. So that started there. And then they say also that 50% of older people, of the older generation, suffer from loneliness as well. Kids are out the house, maybe a partner's died, and they're lonely, you know, and they're not sprightly enough to go and, you know, play tennis or maybe, you know, do something. So I thought it was quite a thing today, and I thought it might be good. I've unfortunately broken my rule because I always said I would never talk about anything that I hadn't gone through. Okay. And loneliness is something that I've never really experienced. I don't feel that I can be alone, and I can be alone for a whole weekend and it's fine. I don't feel that sense of loneliness because I looked at the definition of it and it said it's a feeling of sadness or distress that comes from being isolated or lacking companionship. So it's a subjective experience where an individual feels emotionally disconnected from others, and even if they are surrounded by people, you hear a lot of people say,
"You can be lonely in the crowd."
I'm lonely. I'm living in London, but I'm lonely. Yeah. You know, it's fine. So I thought we'd look at that today, Rich, and just have a look and see if we can, first of all, just break it down a little bit, find out what people that are lonely, what questions do they ask themselves. Also, what types of loneliness are there? Because once again, there's not just one type. There's a whole lot of things that can trigger. And then most importantly on these shows, how to overcome it maybe and give you some hints on how to get away from this feeling of sadness and distress that you are feeling. Because nobody wants to feel sad and distressed. I mean, that's really, it's not what we're here for in life. And if we can help people to do that, it'll be great. Okay, so that's where we're going. So let's look at some of the questions people that are lonely ask themselves. And why do I feel so alone even when I'm around people? That's just quite a big one. Huh? It's quite deep. Is there anything wrong with me that makes me hard to connect with others? Will this feeling of loneliness ever go away? Or do I have this for the rest of my life now? Am I destined to always be alone? You know, will I ever find someone, or what is my life going to be? You know, why do I find it so hard to open up to other people? You know, and then questioning relationships. Why do my relationships feel shallow or unfulfilled? How do I make a deeper, more meaningful connection with people? Well, some people don't want to. What can I do to meet new people and build friendships? And people are scared of that. That's another fear people have. maybe, of being vulnerable. Do my friends and family even notice that I'm lonely? That's a big one, because do you notice that your people around you busy and you're doing things and whatever, and your parents or your parent is living somewhere, and do you know if they're okay or if they're feeling that loneliness?
And also
feeling?
Sometimes you will go to friends and family or family, and you'll put up a front.
Yeah,
and they won't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you go away from that, back into that loneliness, which sometimes maybe even compound the problem.
Of course it is, especially when they leave and then all of a sudden it's quiet again.
But, and the energy it takes to put that front up.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. One of the other things that we will talk about one day is bulimia and anorexia and that kind of stuff. But bulimia is a very hidden thing. Same as loneliness. Mm. People hide it a little bit. Why do people seem to drift away from me? That's another question. And then socializing becomes very, very difficult if you're not used to it. So how can I overcome my fear of rejection when trying to meet new people? So I'm scared to meet new people. I don't like the rejection. They talk about me, or they might talk behind my back, or I've had experience of people talking behind my back. And how do I get over that? Why do I struggle with small talk or making conversation? Why do I struggle with that? Or maybe you're older and you're a bit grumpier. And you say, well, I can't do the small talk thing. I mean, you know, just people irritate me. What activities or groups could help me connect with others who feel the same way? Now, there is something we can look at. How do I rebuild my social life after a period of isolation? That's quite important. What is the purpose of life if I feel so disconnected from others? Now we're getting towards the realm of depression. Okay, so we're heading in that direction. We don't want to go there. Can loneliness teach me something about myself and lead to growth? What can I learn from this? Is there a way to find peace and fulfillment in solitude? Yes, I'm sure there is. Yeah. Absolutely. I know we'll talk about that. I've got some ideas there as well. And then what about society and culture? Has modern technology and social media made me lonelier? Has it made loneliness more common, perhaps? Why does it seem like everyone else has a vibrant social life except me? And are there others who feel the same way as I do, even if they don't show it, as you said, Rich? Mm. But, you know, on social media, we're going to talk about a little bit of social media, and you think you're connected, but you're not. Mm. So I'll get to that. So what causes loneliness? Okay, first of all, social isolation. Isolation. Can we try that again? Lucky, this is live radio.
Three, two, one.
Isolation. Okay. Thank you. Social isolation. That's physical separation from others. Okay. And then life happens and you move to another city, you change jobs, you retire. And you can also lead to, you know, after a loss of a loved one, you can also feel very, very lonely after that. Health issues. You could feel physically disabled, or you could be physically disabled, or mental health conditions like depression, anxiety, that kind of stuff. That can make you feel incredibly lonely. Social anxiety, fear of rejection, as we said before, lack of emotional fulfillment. So you don't have that deep connection with somebody, or deep emotional connection. Technology and social media. Now this is interesting, because you should think, well, I've got social media, I've got a whole lot of friends, I've got 4,000 Facebook friends, I've got lots of mates. But is it really? Mm. You're missing that face-to-face engagement. And it also feels lonely as well when you switch that machine off as well. And I'll get to another point that social media is quite dangerous as well just now. Cultural and environmental factors, living in environments where community ties are weak. So they don't have a community tie. Now, one of the things that, you know, that I'm from the Atlantic seaboard. You know that. I live there. And we had a function, I remember, for Zone Radio, and I came to the cricket club, right?
Mm.
And I came around the corner, and the cricket club, the soccer club, the other club, it was vibing on a Saturday. Okay, and there's some communities that don't have that, you know. Mm. So just know that this Deep South community is awesome. In fact, it's probably more awesome than most communities in the Western Cape.
Definitely.
Because people like to be together here, and it's a wonderful thing. Okay, so loneliness can affect people of all ages and is often tied to the perception of a gap between social connection of person and what they want and what they actually experience as well. So, yeah, so types of loneliness. There are types of loneliness. There's emotional loneliness. So now you do not have that connection with someone else. You have social loneliness, which is you're not belonging to a group or a community. Or you've locked yourself away from that community that's right on your doorstep. You don't have a network of friends. You don't have colleagues anymore. You might have been retired. Or you work in a cubicle.
Mm.
You know, there are people that do, maybe they are blood technologists. And all they do, they come into the hospitals, they go to a cubicle and they sit there.
Mm.
And maybe they go to the canteen and they sit back in the cubicle and then they go home. You know, that can also cause chaos as well. And then obviously moving cities and moving jobs that can lead to, especially also in Cape Town. I mean, the people move from Joburg to Cape Town and they say, it's hard to make friends here. Obviously, I haven't moved to the deep south, but, you know, you get to a city in Cape Town and they're clicky here. People don't like it. Where in Joburg, you know, I've always said people need people up there. So if they actually want you to come for a braai, they actually say come for a braai, and they mean it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas in Cape Town, something to say on a Tuesday just to be nice, you know. There's existential loneliness as well, when you've lost some kind of meaning or purpose in life, perhaps. Even when surrounded by others, you've sort of lost your direction. Romantic loneliness, that's obviously that you know, you haven't got somebody or an intimate partner or romantic connection, you know, that when you've got a romantic connection and you're in love and all those kind of things, you never really feel alone. I didn't say marriage. You can feel very alone in a marriage, and we'll talk about that as well. Cultural or minority loneliness. Individuals may feel lonely if they belong to a minority group or a larger, different cultural group. They can feel out. Immigrants can happen to immigrants if they're coming to a country as well, where they are a minority. Intellectual loneliness occurs when a person feels disconnected from others because they can't engage in meaningful conversation in topics that those people talk about. Or they're not interested in those topics and they're just way above their head or it's below them or whatever it is. And they may struggle to find people with common ground. And then loneliness in crowds. This is always interesting for me because it's called urban loneliness. We just spoke about it now. You're in the middle of London and millions of people around. It's bustling, New York, bustling all over 24 hours. And you're up in a flat and you're feeling incredibly lonely. That is a phenomenon that is absolutely quite real. Also, at a large event, it can occur at a large event as well. So these are things that can happen. And we'll talk a little bit about loneliness in a marriage. Now, loneliness in a marriage is a dangerous thing, and it might look, as you were saying, you hide that kind of stuff, but it might look like you're having the best time. You might look, you've got perfect husband, perfect wife. Maybe the kids have left, but maybe they just do their own thing, sport and school and whatever it is. And maybe there's one of the couple that's not working or stays at home or whatever it is, and it can get incredibly lonely if the other partner does not recognize that the other partner is struggling. So if you're in a partnership and you are in that situation, just make sure that your partner is not feeling that loneliness or that lack of value or that abandonment almost if you leave and go for work. And then, you know, you think everything's great, but it's actually not great. Okay. So how do we deal with this? Let's end off with a way of dealing with loneliness. First of all, you've got to acknowledge your feelings. You've got to recognize and accept your feelings of loneliness and know that it's a problem. And you can only fix something when you acknowledge it. So this is very, very similar. And do not judge yourself for being a recluse or, you know, enjoying your space maybe. But when loneliness creeps in, you've got to realize that maybe you've gone a bridge too far here. Strengthen existing relationships. You might have kind of friends, but make them more solid. You know, colleagues, friends, family, you know, get in touch with them. Deeper relationships can make you feel better. Join a social group or activity. You know, you can volunteer at a shelter or whoever's got a volunteer thing. I know here in Noordhoek they've got
many.
Plenty of them that you can join. I mean, the horses thing, I mean, that's the rescue horses and all that. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, horses also give you a sense of spiritual upliftment and all that kind of stuff. Well, animals do anyway. So you can get involved in that kind of stuff, or you can start something like Tai Chi, or you can go and do Krav Maga, or there's so much to do here in the valley as well. Adopt a pet, okay? That can be really good for companionship as well. And once again, we say seek professional help. So if you are really struggling, try and see somebody or speak to somebody that has been down this road and is helping people get out of it. It doesn't necessarily have to mean you can spend money on huge expensive therapists if you can't afford it, but go and find somebody, a counselor or somebody who can help you. Just get some perspective, and then improve your communication skills. Okay. That's not easy to do. It's easier said than done, but go onto YouTube and press the button, improve communication skills. And there's a whole lot of ways of doing it. You know, you can gradually get yourself in front of people again by listening or going to a little pub or something like that, or a restaurant, and just being with people around. Just get out a bit. Limit your social media use. Now, we spoke about that earlier, and I said you might feel a false sense of connectivity with people. And remember, people don't really care about you if they're your Facebook friends. They don't really give a damn. Someone or two will because they're your friends, but your Facebook, don't really. And it can lead to feelings of inadequacy as well by comparing your life to others. So you see somebody on holiday in Bali, somebody on holiday at Tahoe in America, skiing or whatever it is, and you think, oh my word, I mean, how do these people get around like that? And, you know, it looks amazing. We're here now. We're now in France. We're now in Venice. And it can knock you if you're feeling a bit down. Practice mindfulness and self-compassion. Look after yourself. It can reduce your feelings of loneliness by making you more comfortable with your own company as well. Be kind to yourself as well. Create a routine. Routines are always a good thing. It must include a social activity, self-care, and a hobby. Don't retire and go and feel lonely, and just get yourself a hobby. Have something that's new and exciting for you as well. You know, and you know what you created here for us, Rich. I talk about the old guys who come into the radio studio, and it's our little happy place. It's a hobby that is that's fulfilling, and it's a new skill. You know, you can find something like that. You know, and foster a positive relationship with yourself. Don't knock yourself. Self-awareness and self-love is extremely important. So engage in activities you enjoy. Invest in personal growth. Look at things and start growing and learning a new skills. Explore new hobbies, and I said interests. Maybe painting, maybe a sport, maybe public speaking. Whatever it is, go and do something. You might have been a professional in your lifetime, and now you're retired, you're on your own, your wife maybe has passed on. Go and teach people, go and teach kids, mentor kids, go to places that do that. Focus on quality and not quantity of your relationships. Your meaningful relationships will always be at one or two mates that you can go and have coffee with. I mean, I went and did a presentation the other day at the golf club in Westlake, and I saw a whole lot of guys, they must have been 80 plus, sitting at the golf club, they're having their coffee after a round of golf. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, that's brilliant. Reach out to support groups if you need to. There are plenty. And then develop empathy for others. Putting yourself in others' shoes and focusing on what others feel might also find yourself connecting more deeply to people as well. And that's really probably it, Richard. I think it's more relevant than people think. And we just got to be a little bit more aware of our people around us.
Yeah. I listened while you were going through, and I was waiting for something on the symptoms. Can we define the symptoms of loneliness, or is it not a one-size-fits-all?
It's not a one-size-fits-all, but it's generally somebody who is sad and down and a bit, won't be clinical depression, but it will be close to that. And you can see that they maybe invite them out and they don't want to go out. Now, that's kind of protecting themselves, but it can lead to lots of things. And part of that is loneliness, where you don't believe in yourself anymore. You don't believe you can be in front of people anymore. You're lonely, and you just can't see yourself going to a braai or a party or something. It's bordering on a kind of depression. So you've got to be really, really careful there as well. Symptoms also would be somebody's not getting maybe sunlight. They're staying at home. They've got nowhere to go. They're not excited about life anymore. You know, if you've got a parent and you say, well, what's the next goal? You know, and they say, well, you know, might as well commit suicide. Nobody cares. You know, old people go, they say those kind of things later in life. And then you've got to realize, okay, hang on, wait a minute. Here's something. Here's a bit of a red flag coming up as well. So, and also just ask somebody. If you ask them directly, they will be honest with it. Are you lonely? Yeah, actually, I hate being lonely. I don't like it. I've been lonely. I feel a bit lonely at the moment. I don't have any mates. And no, I don't like it. That will tell you something. And look deeper into that kind of sort of, I'm fine type of conversation.
Because a lonely person will generally, I know it's a huge generalization, not come out and say, hey, actually, I'm quite lonely. They're not going to do that. They are going to, more often than not, put up some kind of front.
They will.
Which could be anger. It could be rudeness. It could be it's not anything that says sort of stay away from me because I'm not comfortable, you know.
So a question you could ask is you could have a general conversation with somebody and you could say, oh, I'm never lonely. Mm. I mean, I've had that conversation. Mm. And I've had friends say, oh, no, geez, I can't be alone a whole weekend on my own. You know, that I can't take that. And that general conversation, you can delve a little, if you care enough about the person, you delve into that a bit more. And you say, well, do you ever get really lonely? You say, oh, Jesus, the worst time. You know, the worst time in a divorce, by the way, is a Sunday afternoon.
Mm.
That's when loneliness really hits you and that divorce and that. Funny enough, if you've got somebody, a friend, that is going through a divorce or going through a hard time with a relationship, give them a shout on a Sunday afternoon. That's their worst time. That's the time that they really feel that loneliness as well.
Many people observation. Many people would be embarrassed to admit being lonely. It's a sign of failure for them. So if somebody comes along and they feel that they are a failure because they feel lonely.
Well, that is absolutely. Somebody comes to me and says they feel lonely. The first thing I'm going to do is, if I have a bra, I'm going to invite them.
Yeah,
I'm going to phone them twice a week to say, how are you doing? Or let's go out this or come and do that or whatever.
But they won't do that. That's the problem. We're speaking to people here on the radio who may be feeling this way.
Yeah.
And that it's not. They may feel like they failed. But it's not.
It's a pandemic. There is so much. In fact, 50% of older people have feelings of loneliness. You don't have to be there. It's not a death sentence as well, and it's something you need to work on. You really need to try and see that it's not. I mean, it's like if you have a flat tire. It's not your fault. Feeling lonely is not your fault. Having any feelings of any type is not your fault. That's your feelings. It's your brain. It's your chemistry. It's your wiring. So if you recognize it, you can fix it. Okay. It's the thing is, if you don't recognize it and all these other things come out that you don't want to see people, you're scared to go out and talk to people, you don't like conversation, you find people irritating, that kind of stuff. It could be part of you blocking or making excuses for that loneliness that you feel. And it's a desperate, sad, sad feeling. It's not nice. And so if you are feeling lonely, as I said, go out, try and find a hobby, try and find an interest. Even if it's initially on TV, you find a subject that you're interested in and get involved and read and get involved with groups like that, you know, as well.
The other thing I think that people need to be aware of as well is that there is a difference, or in my mind, there's a difference between somebody seeking solitude and somebody who is lonely. And if we confuse the two, we generally then crash into somebody who is seeking solitude and they're offended by that. They really do want to be alone. That doesn't mean that they're lonely. It just means that they...
They like their space.
And like you said, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was, you know, you be comfortable with your own company.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people like that. So you see them sitting at home on a Sunday afternoon, and you think, oh, man, you know, I really feel for that. Meanwhile, that person is in their happy place.
He's loving it. He's loving it. In fact, the phone rings, he doesn't answer it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's something that I did miss there. Solitude, or wanting your space. Everybody needs space. There's no question in my mind. Everybody needs space. But it depends where you are in life and depends your experience and all of this stuff. But the space issue and the loneliness issue, that's why I said I love my own space, but I've never felt the loneliness. I've never been sad on my own. I've always had things to do, or, you know, things to watch or book to read or something. And that loneliness is scary. So I don't want people to feel lonely and feel it's your fault or feel it's a weakness. Please don't do that, because it's not. It absolutely isn't. You get yourself into that. Even as I said, after COVID, it became more and more relevant that people got themselves into that. And what companies are doing now, they're actually bringing people back to work because they found it was not good for their mental health. They want them at least in the office 3 times a week now. Mm. Even if they can work remotely, IT people and all that, they want them back in the office. We need the human contact.
Mm.
And don't allow yourself to – that feeling of sadness and depression block you at home and make you scared to leave.
Yeah, I never underestimate the importance of water cooler talk, because that's where you engage with people.
Yeah.
Here's another comment. How's it, Jeff? Interesting topic. I'm trying to think of the words – but what a lot of people don't realize is that lonely isn't just being alone. It can also be a longing for something that's been lost.
Oh, yes. So we spoke about relationships that you've lost. Now you feel lonely. Or a city that you've lost and you're moving to a new city. Thank you for that comment. It is a loss. And sometimes when you're feeling lonely in a new city or in a new job or in whatever, that is a sense of loss, and you've got to treat it like that, like you've lost something. So what do you do when you lose things? You have to do therapy. You got to talk to yourself. You've got to meet new people, get a new circle of friends, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a process. And there, once again, it's not your fault. You know, losing something is not your fault. Yeah. It happens. Life happens like that, you know. So hopefully there are people out there now who felt lonely and have now got some kind of direction not to be lonely anymore.
Yeah, maybe they're identifying some of the things in themselves and saying, well, this is how my life is at the moment, and maybe this could be something. Because, again, there are lots of solutions, and there are lots of reasons why, but not everyone is applicable to everybody,
as life is.
Yeah, so it's kind of best to listen back to the podcast and identify in yourself those things which are relevant to your life, and then deal with those and discard the rest.
Yeah.
But then, having said that, there are a lot of people out there who never experience loneliness. You're one of them, and I certainly can't say that I really feel lonely. I'm one of these people who sometimes just likes to be in my own head, and I don't want to be.
You're a legend in your own mind.
No, well, not exactly, but yeah. You know, so I think that it's something that one should be on the lookout within oneself, but equally, people should be on the lookout for it in other people, but approach with caution.
Yes, and approach with caution, but don't take too much of your experience with you. Give the person the benefit of the doubt. Mm. You've got so much value to give to people. We all have some value to give to somebody. You know, believe in yourself and understand that you have value. And if people don't see that value, it's not your problem. It's their problem.
Their problem.
Yeah.
All right, well, there we go. That was a fairly quick 40 minutes.
Yeah, very quick. Yes,
well, actually half an hour.
Went quite fast, about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, so there you go. I'm going to leave you on your own now.
Yeah, and you have no idea how grateful I am.
I'm sure you get very excited when I leave.
Yeah, and I'm going to start counting the sleeps already. And
All right.
Until we see you again in 2 weeks' time.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Cheers. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Jeff.